Have to excuse me. I still have a little bit of a cough. Just want to thank you guys for praying for me last week. I had a really bad flu. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 12. Okay. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Then it came about when they entered that he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Saul. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Next Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Amen. If you guys are here or have been here the past several years, you're familiar with an activity that we do every Christmas, for our Christmas celebration at Solomon's Porch. And we get together, we have a fellowship. And at the end of the meal and whatnot, every year we have an activity, and it's a gift exchange. And it's an activity where, everyone, let's say there's 30 people, puts a number in, you get a number, and then that's the order in which you select a random prize. And the trick in the game is that at each turn, you have the option of swapping with a previous person who had already selected a gift. And it's interesting to see just sort of the pattern. I've been here about 4 years now, and the first couple of years, naturally so, people would select certain packagings, right? Whether it was really bright red, some people are really good at packaging, or they go to a place that packages really well. Some people would select based on how heavy the gift is. But the past couple of years, if you've noticed, and it all kind of started with Charles Hahn, everyone's been going for the envelope, right? And I think a couple years back, I think he put like 500. There's a limit to the game. You have to purchase something below $200, but he actually put in like a $500 voucher or something. So since then, the hot commodity has been that envelope. And so people will keep swapping and trying to get that envelope. But it's natural to us, right, to be attracted to or to make a decision based on the appearance of something. And today's devotional, very simple, one point, is that God sees and judges the heart and not the appearance. And so in the same way, in our day-to-day situations, right, I mean, it's so easy for us. How many times, even as a pastor, even in ministry, I have to tell myself, I have to remind myself, Sam, don't judge that person based on who you think he or she is, what you think he or she is capable of doing. And a lot of times, still, I'll say, well, that person has a heart for children's ministry. And that person, well, I don't know. This person has a capacity to lead or whatnot. And constantly I'm reminded that I have to bring this before the Lord, bring this supplication, and seek out what God's desire is in the situation. And, you know, a couple really key illustrations or examples in my personal life, and I've shared this before, when I was seeking out, who I wanted to marry, you know, who God would bring into my life, there were the obvious kind of categories or checklists that, you know, people naturally have. And I had about 99, and Annie hit about 98 of them. but knowing myself prior to meeting her, I knew that there was a part of me that, you know, was fleshly. And I knew that there were, you know, a part of me in the past that when I had met someone, if to my standards, you know, they didn't live up to certain things, then I wouldn't give them really a chance, or I wouldn't really get to know them. And so when I was proposed with the idea of meeting this person, you know, my roommate at that time, I was in China as a missionary, was telling me all these things about this person, Annie. And man, I was getting excited at who this person was, at the heart of what she was doing, at what she stood for, you know, the things she believed in, and the things that she liked. And I started getting attracted to this. And then I said at the end of this discussion, I was like, oh man, she sounds like such an amazing person I would love to meet. And I said, okay, let's go, you know, go show me a picture of her, right? Like the end all, right? If it doesn't come through here, then I'm not interested. And I knew my heart, right? I mean, I knew my heart in past experiences. And I know some of you and some of us have done the same thing. A guy or a girl or a situation, a certain feeling or certain attributes that don't hit your checklist, then you write it off. And I knew my heart in the situation, and I thought that was very, very key. I knew how I had dealt with situations like this in the past, carnally or in the flesh, as spiritual as I would like to have thought of myself. And so I stopped myself and said, I said, this is so serious to me, and this person sounds so amazing that I'm not going to leave it up to my own flesh. I'm not going to leave it up to my own whim or what I think God thinks I want to do, but I want to actually know what God wants me to do. And so before I ever met her, before I ever saw her, before I ever even got an impression of her physically, you know, through Facebook or internet or whatnot, I decided that I would pray 2 months. And my prayer was very simple, right? God, give me your heart to see this situation. Or more precisely, God, give me your heart to see this person as you see her and not as I see her. And I spent 2 months just praying. You know, variations of this prayer, but at the heart of it was this singular message. God, I want to see the heart of this person for what you see her. And so what that meant was, if this person was, you know, amazingly gorgeous and, you know, knockout, whatnot, God, give me your heart to see past that, to see past that situation, and let me see what you see. On the flip side, if she wasn't, you know, as exactly attractive or to the standards that I appeal to, God, let me look past that and let me see her heart, because I know you've planted something special in her. And so then, you know, 2 months prayer, I'm ready. And, you know, I see the picture and I was like, wow, I really want to meet this person. And then the first time I actually physically met Annie was in Causeway Bay. She, you know, we were meeting together with Pastor Sam and whatnot. We're having a little mini group dinner, right? Thank you, Pastor Sam, right? And she was coming down the escalators in Causeway Bay MTR, and I saw her. And it wasn't like, you know, my first moment, you know, I'm just sharing, I don't think I've shared this before, but it wasn't so much, and it's not that it wasn't, you know, wow, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful, man, she's, you know, the one. More than that, it, you know, I had such anticipation to meet this person. And more than like, wow, is she like, you know, a certain standard? When I saw her, it was like, man, there she is. Like a celebrity, right? Wow, that's her. You know, I've been praying and I was so excited. And so all to say, you know, you guys are presented, you know, in any given day, you know, whether small situations or over a course of period of time, you know, sort of larger decisions. And my charge to you really today, you know, is one, you know, if we've been making decisions based on flesh or processes of thoughts, no matter how good you are at them, then on one sense, we need to repent, right? If we haven't been bringing these things before God and asking Him, God, what is your heart? I know what I see. I know where I'd like to see things go, but where are you directing me? God, where is your word in this? And so in one essence, if we haven't been doing that, if we haven't been making that a habit, then we need to repent. And secondly, if we've called a judgment on someone based on their appearance, based on the way they talk, based on a certain perceived attitude, then again, you need to repent. Right? If there's someone in the house church that just kind of rubs you the wrong way, or someone in church, or someone in your workplace, you know, that's just kind of rubbed you the wrong way, and you've kind of written them off, then we need to repent. You know, there's a heart and a matter to that person that God is wanting to work in and accomplish, and maybe you're being somewhat of a barrier. And you know, and of course, you know, on the heart of that, I'll give you one more illustration. 5 years ago when I initially hurt my back, I went through two or three they were in China, but, you know, westernized hospitals and doctors, and they had all their machines, gadgets and scanners and, they didn't do an x-ray, but all these different types of mechanisms, and they would check, and the doctors would check my flexibility, and two of the doctors had said that had diagnosed me with muscle trauma, right? Saying that there was, you know, some tension or some trauma in my muscles, and so it was causing a bit of pain. I knew that it was deeper, but I'm not a doctor. I couldn't physically prove it, but I your own body. You have a sense of it. And sure enough, one of the missionaries there, a German family, has said, you should go check out this blind doctor. I'm like, blind doctor? Give me a break, right? I at that point I had exhausted my options, and there weren't many places I could go, so I went. And to be honest, you know, I was very skeptical. Like, come on, a blind doctor? Well, like, what kind of machines does this guy use, right? Does he know how to push the buttons? And so I went, and he was a chiropractor, right? So, you know, he knew, like, pressure points and whatnot. And the other doctors that I'd gone to check in, everything, you know, okay, lie down and, you know, drink this and you know, get the machines all ready. Probably took like 30 minutes. This guy, I lied down. This guy was blind. He kind of like, okay, you know, kind of felt me out and stuff. And I promise, in 1 minute, he poked something, he pushed something, and I screamed. And I was like, yeah, that's it right there. The other doctors couldn't find it. And he, within 1 minute, he kind of just ran his fingers down my back, kind of moved around, and then he pinpointed it, the exact spot where all the pain was coming from. And then he said, oh, you have a slipped disc, you know, essentially, which it ended up not being, but a variation of. And so here this doctor, who I totally written off, you know, in which the other doctors couldn't, I knew their diagnosis was wrong, you know, for all their education and for whatnot. And here I came to this blind doctor's home, literally his apartment, and within a matter of a minute, he knew exactly and pinpointed. And so, you know, the kind of idea that, you know, I want to walk away from today and kind of leave with you as a charge is this kind of like this pinpoint blindness. And where that pinpoint blindness comes, what I mean by that is that we rely completely on God's heart, on God's sight, on God's vision, and we have complete faith that He will direct us, I mean, literally to the point, to the pinpoint accuracy of what He desires for us and for His kingdom. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. And let's just spend some time in meditation. And this is something, you know, honestly, for myself, it's something that I have to guard against regularly, right? You know, with all the messages and self-reliance and independence, you know, look at any like CNN Traveler magazine, you know, look at any publication. There's always ads in there, right? Of self-reliance, you know, of you can do it, of you have the ability. And you know, if we've gotten these messages mixed up, or if we've subscribed to these at times without really knowing, then really, you know, let's charge and take inventory on our hearts this morning. You know, I believe actually that each of us, you know, there are people that God wants us to actually bring nearer to the light. People actually that we've written off. You know, I'm doing a study and going to be preaching a little bit about reconciling and about Barnabas and Paul this coming Sunday. And man, Barnabas was an amazing person, right? He had such a spirit of, friendship or love. And man, he saw Paul for who he was when the church had rightfully so rejected him, right? So just spend some time in meditation. As Hannah will lead us in a song of worship. First prayer point for today, and I really sense that, you know, for each of us, there is an individual or individuals that we're just not really seeing eye to eye with, and a couple, you know, other examples that come from the family, you know, which is sometimes the hardest to see eye to eye. You know, one, you know, lately Micah has been really needy with air conditioning. And so in the middle of the night in the morning, he'll wake up and he'll scream. He's like, I want to be cold, right? Like, who turned off the AC, right? And so, you know, in the beginning, we would kind of manage. But, you know, after a week or so, it gets kind of tiring, right? And so then Annie and I, we kind of got to a place where we just kind of ignore it, right? It's like, oh, come on, man. You, like, say this every day, like, 20 times. And then it got to a point where, okay, just you know, if you leave it alone for a little bit, then he'll, you know, he'll kind of quiet down. And this was still going on, and Annie's mom stayed over, you know, a couple nights ago, and same situation, you know, that we had, Annie and I are familiar with, But this time he screamed out, I'm cold, to turn off the AC. And he ran to Grandma. And Grandma, all she said was, oh, really? You're cold? And just kind of hugged him and comforted him. And I realized right away, at some point, it wasn't about the AC, right? At some point, and we didn't catch this, what he was really translating was, I want some attention. And so I was able to see past or recognize past the appearance and the actions. And the reality of the matter was that he just wanted a hug. He just wanted mom or dad to say, oh, you're cold, or, why are you cold? Or to address, his heart need or whatnot. Similar situation like 10, 15 years ago with my sister. And I don't even remember what the whole issue was about. But I remember she really wanted something really bad. And as an older brother and, putting all the pieces together, this was negative. This is not, in the best interest of yourself or whatnot. And so, she was kind of coming to me to side with, to confide in, and so that I could help convince mom. But in my mind, I knew, no. This is like you're barking up the wrong tree. This is not right. But, she was talking with me, and the night actually where she wanted to really make her push, I just had a few moments where I was able to kind of just download from God and to really see God's heart in the matter. And I, before she came and before she talked to me and before I gave the final, no, this is not, and kind of the judgment, I God was able to reveal to me to be able to see between the lines. And it wasn't so much about what she wanted or the situation, or an approval or whatnot. She just wanted my heart to understand and recognize where she was coming from. And so I was able to do that. And that night, she was able to confide. And we really, there was, really a connection. And we don't have the best of relationships. And I really understood where she was coming from. And so, there are some of us, and we're in this situation where we're not seeing eye to eye, and there's these people, it's just a bit of a barrier. Let's just pray that God would give clarity, that God would give you His heart. And for people in relationships that are just broken or whatnot, or situations, decisions, like what job to take, where to move or whatnot, where do I want to live, huge decisions, right? That keep us up late at night, checklists, pros and cons. Man, let's go to the heart of God and really ask Him to show us, to show our loved ones, and really reveal to us His heart for the situation. And then we take that step of faith. And then He shows us His heart for the next situation. And then we take that step of faith. And as we take these increments and steps of faith, man, we're always in the center of what God desires for us. Okay, so let's make that our first prayer point. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for each other, our families, our friends. Let's pray for our missionaries. Let's pray for focus on China. Pray for the Chongs, Jane and John, and their three sons in Dalian. Let's pray for Mr. Shim in the Chichihar orphans. We have five orphans now. We added a fifth girl. She's 4 years old out in Northeast, out in the Harbin area. So pray covering over them. Five-year-old Unju, who's the youngest boy, he has a got diagnosed with some abnormal growth in his brain. So if you could just pray healing for that. He went to Shanghai a couple days ago to get that checked out by a specialist. So just pray healing over him, no complications. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and Matt's parents out in Qingdao. God's provision, resources, protection, covering over them. Let's pray for our YWAM missionaries, Godwin, Shanti Ministries, where we're the SP Missions Committee. We're trying to partner with him with one project that he's doing out in Yunlong. So just pray covering over that, provision, resource. Pray for Frank and Fabi. I know that Fabi particularly is struggling. Ever since she got married, financially her support has gone down. But they are still in as much need as they were before. So if we just pray for them, for covering, for provision, that God would just bless them. Let's pray for Rachel out in Thailand. And just pray covering over our missionaries, that God would just provide for them, use them powerfully to plant seeds and to grow the kingdom. And along with that, let's also pray for our summer teams as we're getting geared up. We had an awesome training last Saturday. We have two more coming up. Let's pray for the Bhutan team, for the Cambodia team. Pastor Nate and Chris are going to be leading. And for the Bhutan team, myself and Indonesia team, I'll also be leading. Just pray for logistics, all the things come together, tickets, flights, accommodations, health, spiritual covering. Attacks from the enemy. So just pray, cover these teams. Father, we thank you, God, this morning for the reminder, Lord, that all things are laid bare before you. God, that we can't trick you. God, if there are other motives or reasons for the things we say or the things we do, God, that none of this flies past you, God. You're able to see us for who we are. God, you're able to see the heart of the matter. And so, God, for that we thank you, Lord, that everything is exposed. God, that we are so known by you. God, that nothing is hidden from you. And God, we just want to come alongside you and say that we believe in all that you are doing. God, we believe in all that you have purposed. God, we believe in all the places and situations that you've put us in. And in every person that you've put around us, Lord God, that you've called us to be a living light, Lord God. And sometimes in fear, Lord, we hide in darkness. Sometimes in fear, we say the wrong things. God, sometimes in fear, you know, we make judgments or whatnot on people. But God, we want to be exposed before you. God, we want a complete clearance, Father God, a two-way relationship, God, where we hear from you, and God, where you hear our hearts, Lord God, and we're operating in this, and we're living in this, and God, that it's infecting and affecting, Lord God, our relationships and our workplace. So God, today as we go out, Lord, let the light of Christ shine before us. God, let us see the heart of even the darkest man or even the darkest woman, Lord God, to see that laid open before you, God, that they're broken. And God, that they desire so much a relationship with you, and they have no clue where to go or how to take the first step. So Lord, I pray that you would use us as you know, brothers and sisters, as a Barnabas, Lord God, to help bring these people to truth, Lord, to bless them, God, to pray for them, to touch them, to share a meal with them. Lord God, to be able to see eye to eye, God, in things that the enemy would not want us to see eye to eye in. God, and for your glory and for your name, God, we go out today with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder today that after our EMP around 8-ish, we will have some snacks.